This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
7 minutes after 7 o'clock, inching closer to the weekend. Good Thursday morning, March 16th. You listen to Good Morning NoCo. Best way to start the day here in Northern Colorado. I'm Brian Carey, along with Tanner Schwint, producer Angel Padilla, and you. And thank you for making the show possible. A little bit later on this hour, Havala from Bruno Lilly will be in here, and we'll be talking legal things. But, of course, it is an exhibition, not a professional match. So, please, no wagering. All right. So
did you see they're trying to change that? Where you can gamble on the WWE now? That's in the works of trying to get it changed. I don't know.
Why would you ever do something where the outcomes are predetermined and you know somebody could find that
out? I don't know why you would do that, but
there's not a whole lot
that I wouldn't bet on. That's something I would not bet on.
There's no way that, like, FanDuel-type places are thinking, or is the WWE going to come up with their own wagering app?
I have no idea.
That would be trustworthy.
Yes, I would definitely do that with the Saudis.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some news for Northern Colorado here this morning. Brian, we know gas prices here in the state of Colorado are amongst the highest in the nation right now. But
about $4 a gallon is what we're looking at.
AAA came out and did a study on where the highest gas prices were in the state of Colorado. And gas prices in Larimer County are higher than most of the state. The average price for a gallon of regular right now in Larimer County is just under $4 at $3.96. Yep. Elsewhere in Colorado, it's $3.87. So the highest in the state lies right in Larimer County, according to AAA Colorado, which lists Colorado gas prices as the 10th highest in the country. The price in Larimer County, while down from more than $4 a gallon a week ago, is still a few pennies higher than the $3.92 average we saw a year ago. That's crazy that we still haven't seen that dip back down. The Coloradoan reports AAA Colorado said the spike in prices is attributed to the December closure of Suncor Energy's Commerce City refinery for repairs and bitter cold temperatures. Experts don't predict prices to fall much. They'll likely rise come this summer. Get the full details at the FortCollinsColoradoan.com. But those gas prices are still absurd, man.
Well, everything's prices and gas right with it. And we know that it's not going to change.
No.
There's no way. Not when you see the earnings still of all of the companies and everything that's gone on through all of the troubles and all of this. And, you know, we have too much gas. We don't have enough gas. The price is this. The price is that. I still don't know what actually everything's supposed to be at.
Yeah.
I know it's been relatively, for the most part, kind of level for a while here.
Yeah, lovely high. I mean, it's
right. No, exactly. But I mean, we've grown accustomed to where it is right now. Do you really think that it's going to get any lower than that? Would the gas and oil companies accept having prices go down?
So here's,
will it go up? What's going to happen?
We talk a lot about how our attitudes affect the markets and things like that, and how we kind of, okay, we see this and then, you know, panic, and it just causes chaos all over the place. It's a ripple effect when it comes to markets. This happens a lot to when Democratic presidents are elected, because they are tough on oil and gas. They have stricter regulations on oil and gas than Republican presidents. That has been known throughout. And so that changes the mindset of a lot of these oil companies of, okay, well, now we're worried we can't do this drilling. Where can we do this drilling? Where can we do this drilling? And the other part of it is that these regulations that are put into place, like we saw here in the state of Colorado on the oil and gas that Governor Polis passed, you know, it was Proposition 212 back in the day. Prop 212 was the one that got voted on by Colorado voters. It got voted down. Then Governor Polis and the state legislature passed it anyways, making it way tougher on oil and gas here in the state of Colorado. When we saw that, we saw a lot of these companies pack up and leave, because Colorado became not so friendly to oil and gas companies anymore. We see that, and then you don't have it right here. It's harder to get people to go to work because you can't pay higher prices. So everything has an ebb and flow, and I'm not saying that these companies shouldn't have regulations based on them. I'm just saying this is why these prices sometimes go up. And you actually just saw President Biden approve a new gas line going in.
In Alaska,
right?
Where he said, no, I won't do this.
Because he's seeing now, and the American people are seeing now, that this is the most effective way to have low gas prices is keeping the oil that we have right here in the States, here in the States, and not importing it out of the Middle East, out of Saudi, out of these places. So this, unfortunately, has been a couple of things, right? I mean, it's been the crackdown on oil and gas companies. It's been people have, weren't driving for a long time, and then, people stopped drilling because you didn't need it. Now the demand's back up, supply's not there. So there's a lot of factors that go into this. I am hoping at some point it'll come back down. I think it will come back down at some point because $4 for a gallon of gas is not sustainable, especially when you look back and look at what California had going on when they had over $7 a gallon. That's insane. I would walk, and I hate walking. I would try and walk places because that's just an absurd, a dollar amount for a gallon of gas. So hopefully it does come down. But right now in the state of Colorado, Larimer County has the highest gas prices there are. So luckily we're not Larimer. We're Weld right now where we're at.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much of a difference.
Cents
on the dollar.
It's 75 cents cheaper to come over here and get gas.
But when you have to fuel all the way up, it adds up, saves you 5, 10, 15 bucks.
No, I get all that. I'm just not one who chases the penny.
Yeah.
I know people who will go, well, here's the way we grocery shop. We know that these items here are cheaper, and then we can save 7 cents if we go over to the other place. And I remember a friend talking about how he was shopping with his in-laws, and his father-in-law is saying, no, and we're going to go over to this other store because there the fruit is this much more cheaper, 7 cents cheaper a banana or whatever.
You spend that much on the fuel getting over there.
And he said, we're going to spend that much going over there. He said, it's no big deal. I'll pay the 7 cents. And the father-in-law said, well, I guess if you're made of money.
Oh, my God. Respectfully, I would have punched him in the mouth. I would have. That is just absurd to me. But yeah, no, the prices of everything. I fueled up my pickup yesterday, and I was on E, fueled it up with premium gas. $147 to fuel it up yesterday.
It's just insane when you're talking about. Okay, we want to go on a trip. We want to go to Washington. Do you do a 2-day drive?
Or do you fly? A lot of places
it's
right
cheaper.
Now.
It's actually cheaper to get the airline tickets when you factor in all the stops.
Mm-hmm.
The fuel that you get. You got to get a few goodies along the way. These kind of things. That by the time you're done, you've about spent what it would have been to fly out there.
100%. News for Northern Colorado here. The free ride is over. The Coloradoan reports Colorado drivers will now face monthly fees, fines, and back taxes if their vehicle registration is overdue. It's the result of a law passed January 1st. Residents can only keep temporary tags for up to 60 days or 90 days if they've just moved to the state. This is something I'm horrible at getting tags, my tags replaced on my vehicle.
Really?
I used to really be bad at this. I took off. This was 3-4 years ago, I took off for a little bit of a road trip, and we had some friends following us, and they text and goes, does Tanner know that his tags are 6 months expired? And I was like, no, I did not.
Could you drive
Thank
close
you.
Behind
yeah,
me?
Yeah,
this
stay
trip.
Right behind me on this. I actually got online and got them renewed, and so that way I could at least show the officer that I had done it. I didn't get pulled over, but a lot of people stopped doing this during COVID because they weren't pulling people over for this.
Well, right, because a lot of DMVs, you couldn't get through, you couldn't get things done, and they gave a grace period for that during that.
So don't let your tags get expired, otherwise you're going to have to pay a fee there as well.
Well, you get a card in the mail that reminds you that your registration is about to go. Take care of that when you get it, because otherwise it gets lost in that pile, that accumulates on your desk, and it's, oh, I remember getting something about that like 3 months ago.
Yeah, you know what's messed up, though, is I got that one time and ordered them and everything was good and they never showed up.
Whoever stole your Facebook account had your tags.
They did. They're like, no, we mailed them out, lost them, and they're like, sorry, that's on you. Made me buy them again.
No kidding.
Yeah. Got some thoughts on that for another time.
Okay. I think I know where they're going to.
Yeah.
I think they know where they're going.
Yeah, I think so. One last story here for Northern Colorado. Sad story. A construction worker rebuilding a home that was destroyed in the Marshall Fire has died. Louisville police told the Denver Gazette that 41-year-old, and I won't say the name here, but the 41-year-old died Saturday while on the job on the 300th block of Troon Court in Louisville. Interim Police Chief Jeff Fisher called the loss heartbreaking for a community that's already lost so much. Two lives and more than 1,000 homes were lost to the flames. For the full story, you can go to the DenverGazette.com. But, you know, somebody working to rebuild after a catastrophe like this and unfortunately loses his life through that. So our thoughts and prayers are with that family. 7:17 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Well, the World Baseball Classic rolled on last night. I wish the Team USA would play a little bit earlier.
Yeah, it's been 8 o'clock starts. It's like when you hit the NHL playoffs and the Avs are the West Coast team, or they're the 8:30 start game all throughout the playoffs and you never get to see any of it.
A little rough.
It's the way I've been with the World Baseball Classics. I did check out the opening game that they had against Great Britain, missed the loss against, was it Mexico who beat them?
Yep.
And now, last night,
Last night.
They won. Who'd they beat?
I knew that I had it, and now I have lost it.
It disappears quickly. It does.
Well, it's weird. This doesn't get, like, any play.
No, which is surprising. You know, because it is, it's all the best in the world. It's like the Olympics of baseball.
Yeah. They beat Colombia 3-2 last night.
Yeah, I'm just finding it too. Apparently, Mike Trout had a good game.
Yeah, Mike Trout drove in all three runs. Trout went 3-for-4 last night with 3 RBIs. So he's starting to really start to pick it up as well. But the World Baseball Classic continues on. Daniel Bard threw an inning last night, no hits, struck somebody out. Love to see. I actually really do like to see Bard and Freeland pitching in there.
I do too. I didn't even realize they were on the squad until you just said that. I don't even know the full roster. I do know next up, as I'm looking, they're going to play Venezuela on Saturday. And Venezuela, what, aren't they undefeated?
Venezuela has not lost. And this will be the quarterfinal. So they've advanced out of pool play.
Right.
Team USA has. And now they'll take on Venezuela. Venezuela's got a really good team, like we've talked about. But, yeah, they have not lost so far.
And this is set up, the World Baseball Championships are set up as a one and done, isn't it?
Yep.
There is no series play. There's no best of three. There's
nope.
None of that. You got one game. It's like the play-in game in baseball, the wild card game.
Yep,
You play 162 all year, but nothing matters except that one game.
Yeah, and of course, we talked with Jerry Schimmel last Friday about this, but the Team USA is looking to defend their title. They won the World Baseball Classic back in 2017. They've never gone back-to-back, so they're looking to do that this year. For Team USA, they've got a loaded roster, and this is the one time that I don't care who the players play for anymore. I'm cheering for them. As soon as they put on that red, white, and blue, actually really fascinating, and I love watching the crowds for these, because the crowds here, it's like a playoff atmosphere at almost every single one of these.
It totally is, and I didn't realize that. I'd always paid attention to it somewhat, but I haven't watched it as much as I actually have this one, where I'm watching, even if it's not the USA, like I think I was saying earlier, it was just cool. I didn't realize I missed baseball.
Yeah.
You know, until I actually watched a game, and it just felt good. There was a comfort of sitting and watching a ball game.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it was sad news for MLB overall. Yesterday, Edwin Diaz, the closer for the New York Mets, who gained immense popularity because of his walkout last year with the Mets, he had to be carried off the field. It looked like it did not look good.
No,
it looked like
I've
a blown ACL
season ending.
Yeah,
type of injury.
It did. It looked like that. So that's always a fine line to walk, because the clubs invest so much money into these people, but don't you want them supporting their countries too?
You do, but if I'm a businessman and that's my income and I've spent all that money on them, I'm telling them let somebody else represent the country and I would not send them over.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. As much as you would love for that to be in the business of sport, there's too much to risk.
Yeah. No, I get that. Angel, can you do me a favor? The last Olympics, can you pull up the USA basketball roster that was on that? Because what I like about this on baseball, these are the top stars. I mean, Mike Trout is arguably the best, you know, American player here in the MLB. Shohei Ohtani is incredible, right? I mean, playing for his country. These guys, Nolan Arenado is the best third baseman in baseball still. Mookie Betts is the best outfielder. So I love that we're still sending the best.
I love that they're playing, yes.
Because there's something about that, right? There's something about that world pride and that, I'm sorry, world dominance is the way that I'm going to phrase it here. I like that. But in the last Olympics, do you remember, Brian, was it a star-studded roster?
No, I don't believe that it was.
This is the roster from the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Team USA, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Jeremy Grant, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Keldon Johnson, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, JaVale McGee, Chris Middleton, and Jason Tatum.
Which one doesn't belong McGee?
Yeah.
But
the other guy that I didn't even know his name.
Keldon Johnson.
Yeah.
I remember seeing McGee on there and wondered how they picked the team.
Right.
Long away from the Dwayne Wade, LeBron James,
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo type of teams.
Kobe, right?
Yeah,
on the Dream Team. The Redeem Team. Yeah, that's right. But I like that it's still in baseball. We're sending our best. I wish we would go do that with the, like, where is LeBron at in that, right? Jokic even played for his team throughout his country of Serbia in that as well. I like when we send our best to go and do it.
Yeah, I know this is different than the Olympics. But what I used to love about the Olympics was that you'd watch it and you would see these guys who weren't pro from our country taking on. You'd always say, you know, in these other countries, these are their professional athletes.
Yeah.
You know, these are the ones. And then, you know, you'd beat them and you'd feel great about it. And then after you lose for a while, you sat back and you went, well, why aren't we sending them?
Right.
Because when we come down to it, we know that our athletes are superior. You know, it was the train of thought. So, you know, why aren't we putting our best out there? Because their professional leagues are putting their players in there. And then that, you know, kind of started the whole thing with the Dream Team, because used to be you couldn't.
Yeah. If we sent the best college basketball team right now over to the Olympics, they get blown out. They would 100% get blown out because the rest of the world is catching up with our sports. I mean, the game of basketball has grown so much thanks to key stars here, in like Giannis and Jokic and these guys. It's grown so much that if we sent a college basketball team over there, it would be a slaughter.
No, it's such an international game now within the United States and the National Basketball Association. When you look at every roster, there's at least six names on every team where you go, I wonder where they're from.
Yeah.
You know, because there aren't that many Wagners and Smiths left anymore. You know what I mean? There's a lot.
There is not. I love the U.S. Philosophy, too, of y'all can have soccer. Like, that's our philosophy. You guys can have soccer. Everything else, we're going to kick your butt in. I like that philosophy.
No, absolutely. We'll try every 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and still, we'll still be there dressed up chanting USA, but...
But in between, we'll still have that big cult following who loves to follow it, but mainstream, I don't think...
No, it's not there.
It's not going to happen.
7:30 the time. Listen, the season of pulling trailers is right around the corner, where it's that camper to be going up to, you know, for a mountain getaway.
You think all the getaways,
the boat, right?
Yeah.
These things, pulling those... I call them trailers and got a weird look from
Brian. Well, you're bringing your home with you on a lot of these. You're taking, okay, we're moving out here for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, or you're going to be hauling your fishing boat, or you're going to be doing some of these things.
Beach or mountain vacation?
Depends on the time of year.
Well, not in the middle of January. Let's say September.
Mountain.
Angel, beach or mountain?
I'm going to go beach.
Okay, definitely mountain for me. Get away from all the people, get up there, but you need to make sure your vehicle has the right towing capabilities for it. CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters has hitches that fit every single trailer. No matter what you're hauling or what you're pulling, they've got the hitches that can get you ready to go. Get hitched at CRP4x4.com. 731, it's good morning.
You guys are doing it?
On Northern Colorado's voice, yes it is. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
.733 on your Thursday morning. Was just seeing a article that had a clip of Carrie Underwood and Axl Rose together singing this, which is kind of cool. She loves to break out a little Guns N' Roses during her set. Let's see, 26 minutes in front of 8 o'clock. You may be surprised when you step outside that your hair flies off your head. It is windier than heck out there, and it is going to stay that way throughout the day. You know, it takes a team of fantastic people and sponsors to make this show happen. Need to give thanks to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. If you haven't checked it out yet, drive behind Cable's End, back in that area where that subway is and so forth. Right behind there, you're going to see a lot of steaks. You're going to see a lot of activity. That is where they have broken ground on the new facility for OCR that is coming to Greeley. Now, it's supposed to be up and going within the next year or so. This is quite an undertaking, and it's going to be quite an impressive state-of-the-art facility that is going to be here. It just shows how much OCR has invested in being a part of the Greeley community and all throughout northern Colorado, which they've been proving since back in 1969. Look, the staff keeps growing. The way that they can help their outreach and their ability to help people keeps growing as well. Now over 45 specialists. Since they've started with us, we've watched that number grow. Just in the last year and a half that OCR has been with us, those numbers have grown. They keep adding to the staff so they can provide better care across six medical campuses, even offer a same-day appointment. Go and check them out for yourself. Orthohealth.com. That's orthohealth.com. More with Good Morning NoCo. Havala joining us next at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Well, when you hear that I need a hug music, there's only one guest he knows in the Aloe Fiber Studios.
It's got to be Havala.
It's got to be Havala. So, question first and foremost, do all lawyers listen to this type of music?
I don't think so.
Because I know one thing. I think if you're going to be a mechanic in your life, you have to listen to this type of music. Any mechanic shop that you walk into, this music is on.
Yeah, in my younger days, I used to just hang around car shops all the time with those guys.
Yeah, just listen, jamming out to this stuff.
I
asked a mechanic. I was at a mechanic last night, actually. My dad had a truck getting worked on. And I'm like, is this a requirement? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, wrenches fly further when this music is on after you throw them when you get so fed up with it. So I think that is the case. Havala, Bruno, Lilly, Legal joining us. Just a quick reminder, as Brian said earlier, this is an exhibition. This isn't a real match. So don't take any of what you hear today
no
as
wagering.
Legal advice.
No wagering.
It will, yeah, no wager, no wagering going on the WWE or on what's going to be said in this segment, because you'll never get that one right anyways, because you never know what's going to go on during this. But Havala, you are in trial right now, is that right?
I am. It's a 2-week trial, so we're 4 days in. So I'm a little tired.
What is the more draining? Is it the prep work leading up to the trial or during the actual trial?
It's the actual trial. Yeah, because you're sitting there and you're just concentrating 100% all the time. There's like no mental breaks. So I walk out of there and I'm just like falling over tired. And then the worst part about a trial is for me, and I know this happens to a lot of other lawyers, but like two nights ago, I was thinking about all these issues and these arguments. So I was up at 1:30 after like passing out at like 7 and then just up from there, like preparing the next day.
How long are you actually in the courtroom for?
Usually from like 8 to 5.
Really?
And you get like an hour lunch. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Sometimes you're there earlier if you have to address issues before the jury gets there. Sometimes you're there later for the same reason.
And it's like watching a film in another language. You have to pay attention the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, or else you get
lost. There's
no
subtitles.
No, there's none. No, because I can't imagine the intensity of it. I just know, you know, as a performer, when you get on stage and so forth, how that's, it's game time. And it's the same thing when you hit a courtroom. It's game time. It's showtime in a sense. You've got to go into that role. And just having to do that is a mentally exhausting type of process. I can't imagine when it's a longer trial like that, to do that to yourself day after day has got to be draining.
Yeah, you're not only kind of quote-unquote performing, right? You're also listening to the witnesses and making sure you know exactly what they're saying, because some of it may be helpful for you in closing, or you're thinking about, okay, they said this thing, I want them to say that thing, how do I get them to say that? So you're just like, it's 100% the whole time. And it's funny because yesterday was a long day, and some of the court deputies were in the room, and I looked at them and I was like, how are you guys doing? They're like, oh man, we checked out a long time ago.
So when you start a 2-week trial like this, how close do you pay attention? Well, I would imagine that's a dumb question. Let me rephrase that. Because you come up with a game plan for the case that you have in defending somebody. But do you know the prosecutors well enough here in the area where you have a different game plan depending on who the prosecution is?
100%.
Yeah.
You have one game plan for the prosecutor. You have one game plan for the judge. And then for your jury pool, right? Because every jurisdiction is going to have a different jury pool. And then you need to know your prosecutor, you need to know your judge, so that you can play your case a certain way.
What's the longest trial you've ever been a part of?
Like the 1 week to 2 week is usually the longest.
Yeah.
I think the last long one was about a week, maybe a little bit more.
God, that's got to be just so draining on it. Do you just crawl into bed on the weekends and not move?
The weekends, you're prepping for the next week.
Do you go, I mean, after you've had, you know, you talked about a long case, you know, if it's a week and a half, 2 week trial, do you give yourself some time to regroup after that, or do you have to dive right in? So I would think you almost need a little bit of time to decompress for a while.
You're supposed to give yourself a break.
Are you?
I did not give myself a break after this one, so I'm going to be paying for it.
you seem so compliant, though, Havala.
Compliant.
Yeah, you're not fighting us
facetious.
Today.
No, I'm
not fighting us today.
No,
weird. I don't know what to do with her.
I'm sorry. I'm tired.
No, you read it wrong. I was just saying her saying that you're supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
Take time off, and she didn't.
Right.
Saying
oh,
that's not
I
a surprise,
you.
Knowing her
you.
Character that she would.
She also hasn't made a snarky remark at me yet, which is a little unnerving, to
well,
be honest.
Well, you haven't court said fatigue. Anything that warrants it at this point.
Okay, good.
I will.
No, I know I will.
It's early in this. Hey, can I ask a question to start with?
Yeah.
I know you're going to go in whatever direction you want, but I was watching Cocaine Bear last night.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right, and it...
No, you can't ask a question.
No, I can't. I can't. And this story fascinated me, and it was very fun.
For the record, I don't do cocaine.
No, nor do I. No, but
I don't think that was something that needed to be said, but no. I feel now obligated to jump in and say that I don't either.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, neither do I, obviously. I mean, no, you don't see a lot of big cocaine heads, all right?
Unless they're a bear.
Obviously, unless they're a bear. But this one was even slenderized because he had found out Cocaine Bear, of course, is the story of a drug drop that ended up going into this wilderness, the Chattahoochee Forest, where a bear comes across it, eats a bunch of it, and then goes on a murderous rampage very quickly.
Yeah.
All right? But this drop had been done, and people who are walking through the park all over are finding little packages of cocaine everywhere because mm-hmm. there was a big drug drop. What if you find the cocaine? Is it like
finders keepers?
Your ball landed in my yard. I'm keeping it. What if you're walking through and you find the bag of cash that goes with the cocaine? You find it out there. It's in the middle of nowhere in the mountains. You find it. Can you keep it?
Yes, it's a legal theory called abandonment.
Really?
Yeah. So if it's abandoned property, yes.
So you shouldn't return it to the cops?
Well, there was no hypothetical that the cops were looking for this information.
Right. No, I'm just saying that you're wandering around the wilderness on a hike. You find a backpack. It's full of cash. Do you have any obligation other than to keep it?
Look, one of the things you learn in law school and what you see with lawyers is this is like drilled in our head is like there is no duty for you to do something unless you're like a mandated reporter, right? Like DHS or something like that. So and then you go through torts and it's kind of like medical students suddenly feeling like all they have every disease in the world. Like when you go through your torts class and you learn about all these good Samaritans who try to help, like the old lady who fell down crossing the street getting sued because they caused more injuries, all lawyers are just like, not me. They walk away, you know, like you just don't get involved.
That's confirmation that lawyers are the worst people out there.
No, it's confirmation that really, no matter how this movie plays out, Cocaine Bear really shouldn't be held accountable. He can't have any drug charges because he found him.
I mean, was he taking the cash and then going and trying to buy some soda or something? I mean, like, I don't know how Cocaine Bear would have any use for cash.
No, and he didn't because they never found cash. They just lots of cocaine. Okay. I was just thinking maybe if a cash bag was mixed in with it.
When you told me at 6 a.m. this morning that we were going to talk more about Cocaine Bear, I did not think it would be with Havala.
Neither did I, but it came to me then. I just had a thought. All right, I'll step out. I'll show myself out. Thank you.
Your overall premise to your question is actually fascinating. Of if you know, is it that finders keepers type of mentality? Like I found this, do I have a duty or an obligation to turn it back in? The answer to that is no.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
Unlikely. Okay, right. Again, no legal advice from this.
I was watching Finding Nemo.
Oh my God. No.
Okay.
Let's go.
I don't know where this is going.
No, I don't either. Let's talk about the incident that happened in Platteville. Now that we have 5 minutes left, let's talk about the incident that happened in Platteville where the cops parked the car on the train tracks with the suspect in the back. You said, and we said that day, that some of the charges brought forth by the DA here in Weld County were kind of bullcrap, or at least I said that. They dropped one now. Is that correct?
They did. They dropped the most serious charge, which was the second degree assault.
Is it usual for DAs to bring charges that they... I mean, you in the legal community, as soon as you heard it, you're like, that's not going to stick. There's no way. This is more for show. It felt like this was for show. Is that right?
Yeah, it definitely felt like it's for show. I still think to a certain extent it is because they didn't drop the other felony, which is the one that I'm probably the most baffled by. To answer your question, the amending of charges does happen quite a bit.
It does.
Unless you get a grand jury indictment, there's going to be some modification of the juries even up through trial. For instance, in this trial that I'm in right now, yesterday the DA amended a charge.
Right. Right. But I guess my question is, do you feel that this was because it got such statewide attention that the DA was like, no, we're going to press everything that we've got here, knowing full well that he didn't have the proof or the backing to get all of them?
Ethically, they're not allowed to do that. Again, I think that he would say he had a reasonable belief that he would be able to present it to a jury and sustain a conviction at the time that he decided to pursue the charges. And I think he would tell you now that after he's gotten more evidence and reviewed the case file that he believed ethically he needed to dismiss that charge for the same reason. I think that's what you would hear from Michael Rourke.
Yeah, I think you can read past all that or read in between the lines of all that, because not very often do we have, you know, cases like this that blew up. I mean, this was even a national scale type of case and the negligence there, because we talked about it. Like, how do you prove the negligence that happened there, and what charges are designed for something like this of, you know, of not doing your due diligence as a police officer?
The two charges that the DA is continuing to pursue is the reckless endangerment and then the attempted reckless.
This is the one I don't get.
Right. This is the one that bothers me a lot, legally speaking. I also think, like, if the DA, like, if they get pushback from the defense team and they end up having to go to trial on that, that is a hard theory to present to a jury because they are literally riding two horses. They're saying he acted recklessly and he attempted to act recklessly. Like, you can't have those two things presented. They're going to have to pick one.
Yeah, how do you attempt to act recklessly?
And I don't even know how you do that. I don't know how you explain that. I mean, it. Yeah.
Because then it would be like premeditated at that point, right? If I, hey, I'm going to go out and attempt to act recklessly today. I plan on causing chaos.
That's why when the charge was brought up, when it was first presented, I read through it and I went, this makes absolutely zero sense to me whatsoever. It just doesn't read like,
no.
You know, mathematically, these things
the math
can't
wasn't
happen.
Math, and no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was very, very bizarre, but I wonder if that one will get dropped along the way as well.
Well,
but
I think it's going to resolve with the misdemeanor. That's my bet, and I bet it will not be publicized. We'll probably find out well after it's done.
Yeah, no, I would imagine so too, because there's always politicking going on, especially it seems like here in Weld County.
There's a lot of moving parts in that one.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Havla, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Go try and get some sleep at some point.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Good luck in your trial.
And thanks for clearing up the cocaine bear thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was fun.
I know so much more now.
Yeah, I'm glad you do. You feel educated.
Well, it blows the sequel for me because I thought it was going to be, you know, Cocaine Bear 2, The Courtroom. You know, that would have been wild.
It would have.
Absolutely.
Havla, final thoughts from you.
Well, don't talk to the cops, number one. And number two is I have a new awesome associate, senior associate, who just joined us. His name is Andy LeClaire. So you can get a free consult with me or Andy. You can call us at 720-340-1373, and you can find us at brunolilylegal.com.
Congratulations
to
you.
That's great.
Excited to meet Andy, too. We'll have to get him in here.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Havla, thanks so much. 754. Let's get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Komando. Happy Life Gardens poll question today. Who's winning March Madness this year? Angel and I are on Alabama. Brian is with
Kansas.
Yes,
as is Johnny. Yeah, what? he just let his voice
was
be heard.
Rock Chalk Jayhawks?
Yes.
Is that their little thing?
Yeah.
I've got them going there. I don't have them quite winning it.
Yeah, I something just came over me and I went Kansas.
The majority of people on Twitter right now saying Houston. Picking Houston to go win it.
And on your poll,
Twitter.
What nationally, who is the ultimate favorite? I know the number one, is it Alabama? Are they the favorite to win the whole thing?
I don't know.
I haven't looked at the odds.
Mathematically, that's true. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay, that'd be
We'll look at some of those odds and we'll see what's going on next. Right here on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.